Let's turn back again to Psalm 23. Led me to a better place to read from and try to teach from. It's these green pastures, still waters. Our Lord is most merciful, and I pray that this will be a blessing for His sheep. All those that He chose to have mercy and compassion on, He said He would have compassion and mercy on whom He would. And I pray that He'll have that on us tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Christ Jesus. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is that shepherd. He has, He's bought us. It's Christ everywhere in there for us. I've got a few scriptures to read to show the shepherd as being Christ. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. And said, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. That right there has got to be speaking of Christ. He is that prince. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. The top of the page, I'm not sure which Bibles y'all have, but this Bible that we've got, it says the Kingdom of Christ. And that was such a blessing to read that Christ is all. And then if we go to John chapter 10, we'll read a few verses here. Couldn't look at the shepherd without looking at the good shepherd that Christ said He was. He said in John chapter 10, starting with verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. If the man is not from God, he don't care about his sheep. Christ told his disciples to feed the sheep. And that's what a man that he sends will do. If a man is not sent by God, the next verse tells about that. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth even me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Christ was put on the cross, bore the sins of many, but the men didn't put him there. Christ himself put himself there. He did that on his own. He declared it there. The Lord, his Father, gave it to him. And he was forsaken by God for our sins. What a salvation. Keep your spot in John 10, but I want to show you in 1 Corinthians 6:20. He's bought us. He owns us. First Corinthians 6:20 tells us that, it says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." If he's bought us, he owns us, he can do what he wants with us. We are his. And he's merciful to us. He's gracious to us. And back in John 10, verses 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When Christ speaks to us and reveals himself to us, we know his voice. He speaks to us. It's clear, as in when he came to the Apostle Paul, stopped him dead in his tracks. Paul wasn't looking for Christ. He was out to destroy the church and the people that he thought he was doing God a favor, but he wasn't. He was on the wrong side. God stopped him. God stopped me. Turned me from where I was at. Verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What a glorious thought that if we're in the Lord's hands, nothing or no one can touch us. He said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are the one." That is something to contemplate, that our God came down here in the form of man, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked this earth, lived a perfect life, and then gave his life for us. What a Savior. Let's go back to Psalm 23. I'm sorry. I've got one more. I wanted to look at Colossians 1. In studying this, you can't not have this one. Looking at starting with verse 16, with him owning us, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." That's our Lord Christ was from the beginning. In Genesis, when it says, "In the beginning God created," that was Christ. Christ was there with him. Christ created man. They said, when they created man, they said that we'll create him in our image. That was God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. What a blessing that our Lord would be a shepherd to us. And David, he wrote this song. And he was a shepherd. He knew what it was to be a shepherd. He told Saul that he had a bear and a lion come after his sheep, and he went out and killed the bear and the lion to protect his sheep. The Lord told us in Luke that he comes after the lost sheep. You know, he's the shepherd that he'll leave the 99 to go after one lost sheep. And when he finds it, He doesn't ask it to come back. He puts it on his shoulders and carries it back. And but in reading this too, because the Lord is my shepherd, look at all the things he does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though, and then he goes on, that he prepares the table for me. And he anoints my head with oil. And because of all that, the writer here could say, I shall not want. I may wish for things, but I'll never want. I have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. I may not think so sometimes, but I know that in Christ, makes me remember him, he is all. That's all I need. That's all my hope, all my salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, he told us that, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, he tells us that we're not to want for anything or take thought of anything. Verses 31. He says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? He's given us all these things. He said, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Tells us to take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our Lord is, in everything that he does, it's for his sheep. He leads us, gives us rest. That's where we need to be, is resting in Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 11. This is most glorious in shall not want. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a great shepherd. Our shepherd, the sheep never need anything. He takes care of every need, every thought. We'll have tribulations. We'll have trials in this world. In the next world, we won't. We'll be right there with the shepherd in his fold. And that is such a comfort. And in verse 2, he talks about, it maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This is all rest. He tells us multiple times throughout the scriptures to rest in Christ. And a good one is Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Tells us to come unto me, all that are heavy, are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's all we need is to rest in the Lord. He's done it all. He's doing it all. It's finished. There's nothing left to do, so man doesn't need to do anything except rest. His sheep need to just rest. He tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. But then, amazing how many times throughout scriptures he tells his sheep, fear not. Fear not. And one that I love that he tells that about is Exodus chapter 14. Could have went anywhere and found the fear not. But this one, when he was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. See the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest in that shepherd. Knowing that that shepherd is watching over his flock. There's no harm to come to those sheep unless the Lord allows it, you know. But then it's for their good. And then back in the text, he says, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters, they're so peaceful. Just a little creek running. Everything is so peaceful about a creek. Or the still waters like that. But he's the one that steals the waters. They get turbulent at times. But in Luke 8:24... was one of the mentions. They were out on the water, the disciples, and was in ship. And our Lord was taking a nap. And a great wind came up on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. So they thought. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Our Lord, he's the one that sends the troubled waters and allows them, but he's the one that steals them. He's the one that calms them. He's in charge of all of it. He is all. And then back in the text, Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. There's so much to be said about that. He saved my soul. By Adam, sin entered into this world. And through Christ, he crushed death. He was the first to be resurrected from the grave, to rise from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 21 tells us, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That was Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All those that Christ set out, chose before the foundation of this world, all those will be saved. There's no doubt. And as soon as the last one is saved, we're all going to the same fold. We're scattered now, but we're all going to the same fold one of these days. He saves, and he alone. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were sinners, so by the obedience of one, so shall many be made righteous. That's speaking of our Lord there, that because of him, he considers us righteous. We're not. We don't consider ourselves that way, but he does. We'll stand before the throne in Christ, and we'll stand before the throne faultless. He said he'd put our sins as far apart as the east is from the west. That's great news. In 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has reconciled us. In that we can take great rest. And another favorite about him being able to, that Christ had done it all, is Jude. The 24th verse. He wrote, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to present us faultless. He paid that sin debt. Something that for one of our sins we wouldn't have been able to pay in an eternity. He paid it in a few hours. Paid it with his precious blood. And because of that, he'll present his sheep faultless before the throne. If we go back to our text in Psalm 23, as he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's, the writer knew something of Christ, and he hadn't even been told his name yet. But he knew Christ, that's for sure, for his name's sake. This passage made me think of where he provides everything, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provideth. But this verse, or this section of this verse, paths of righteousness, he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the Lord our righteousness, which is Christ. Christ is our righteousness. We have nothing to look forward to in ourselves. It's all of him. It's all through him. By him, for him. In Romans 3, verse 21 says, Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Christ came here, walked this earth for 33 years, never sinned. There was no sin in him. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That blood has covered our sins and hid them. What a glorious thought. And then back in our text, it tells us that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I was reading Henry Mahan's little commentary on this. The valley of the shadow of death, that's this world. We're walking through it. This is, this is not our home. We don't dwell here. We're just passing through. But because of sin, it's all death around us. It's just the shadow of it. But because of our Lord and our shepherd, that great shepherd, what evil do we need to fear? He's in charge of all of it. Man can't do anything to us more than kill us, if the Lord allows him. The Lord's the one that needs to be feared. He's the one that has control over the body after death, over the soul. And then, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is a rod of chastisement. We've got to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. All that the Lord chastens, he loves. Parents chasing their children because they love them. How much more so our Lord? Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? That's something that needs to be remembered. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Our Father's good. All that he loves, he chastens. Brings us back to him. Makes us turn to him. And then he goes on to tell us that, says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I couldn't help but think of Mephibosheth in this verse. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. With Christ and my shepherd, everything runneth over. Let's look at Isaiah 26 first. Then I'll go find Mephibosheth. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Can't even expound on that. That's our Lord. He is our shepherd. He's that great shepherd. If you turn to 2 Samuel 9, our pastor just preached from that a few weeks ago. When I read that verse, it reminded me of 2 Samuel 9:7. David said unto Mephibosheth, fear not, for For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Mephibosheth never had to worry about eating again. David provided everything for him. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ does for us. If he saves our souls, he provides for us all our days. He's providing for everybody. They just don't realize it and don't give him the glory for it. But we should give him the glory for it. And back in our text, if surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look at Revelation 7:17. And with this I'll close. This sums it up. Our Lord. Our Lord, because of all he does as our shepherd, we're able to say, "I shall not want." He makes us to rest, makes us to lie down. But Revelation 7:17, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all their tears." We have something to look forward to. Where this is reading from, we'll have no more tears, no more sorrows. We'll be praising our Lord all the day long. It'll be such a blessing. All right, y'all stand with me.